Hello, listeners. Good afternoon. This is Ted Marr of the Out of This World radio program, broadcasting from the studios of KKNW in Bellevue, Washington on 1150 AM. The program focuses on out-of-this-world information, including psychic phenomena, UFOs, metaphysics, and predictions for the coming years in the Seattle area and beyond. We will have only the best psychics, astrologers, and UFO researchers in the world on our program, and I guarantee it will be the most interesting radio program you've ever listened to, as you will hear information here that you will simply not hear elsewhere. I also want to welcome our new friends who I know are listening from Switzerland. Guten Tag, meine Damen und Herren, und mein neues Freund. Before we start, I would like to ask all of my listeners, both here in the United States, Canada, and in Europe, to send good thoughts and good wishes and prayers to Susan Miller in New York. Susan was on my program several weeks ago. She's one of the world's best astrologists. When she was on the program, her light was so beautiful that the entire studio here just lit up. But Susan has not been feeling well, and I would really appreciate it if you could please send her your good thoughts and prayers to help her feel better. Thank you so much. If you'd like to know more about the wonderful work she does, please see my website at www.outofthisworld1150.com and click on the interview that I had with her on April 11th or go directly to her website at www.astrologyzone.com. Today we have a split show that I guarantee will be really out of this world. From now to 3 p.m. for the first hour, we'll be speaking with Scott Lemire. He just flew in from Los Angeles this morning to be here in the studios for this interview.
Lemriel.
I'm sorry, Scott. All right, he's with me here. Scott will also be with me tonight at East West Books at 6500 Roosevelt in Seattle for a live presentation from 7:30 p.m. to 9 p.m., where the show will be recorded and to be played back later on this station. In addition, Scott, myself, and Jackie Conquest, another psychic, will be giving a fantastic workshop on how to contact the spirits, the Pleiadians, and the Galactic Alliance at Taylor's Landing Park in Duval, Washington, just 45 minutes from Bellevue. The workshop will be from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. The cost is $40, but if you can't afford it, please come anyway. We would love to have you. Scott is a Hollywood writer, actor, and the author of a top-selling book, The Series Agenda. It's an amazing book written from his firsthand, direct, face-to-face conversations that he has had with the Pleiadians and the Galactic Alliance since he was 12 years old. In this dimension, there are actually two main alien groups which visit this planet. The first are what's formally called the Galactic Interdimensional Alliance of Free Worlds, or simply Galactic Alliance. The second is loosely referred to as the Reptilian Empire. What's their formal name, Scott?
They're called the Trilotu.
Trilotu, all right. The main differences between the groups is that, in my opinion, one is good, one's bad. One's service to self, the other is service to others. One looks upon humans as a food source, and this planet and its people as a resource to be exploited. The other alien group, which we'll be talking about tonight, is very benevolent. They care for us deeply, and they helped seed this planet many millennia ago. His new book, The Series Agenda, follows his discovery of a secret government on this planet that has come under the control of a diabolical extraterrestrial race. His book is an eye-opening, hidden truth, revealing, and consciousness-expanding adventure based on the author's direct true life experiences about what is real beyond the suppressive illusion which is being covertly, artificially created for all humanity on Earth today. For the second hour, from 3 to 4 p.m., we'll be interviewing Jeffrey Marks. Jeffrey is a spiritual medium and researcher, paranormal investigator, and award-winning author of Your Magical Soul. He is co-host of the internet talk show Explorers of Consciousness and is a member and past president of the Washington Ghost Society. He lives in the Seattle area with his wife and two cats, and he's published an amazing, incredible book entitled The Afterlife Interviews. I've read the book, and the book takes you on an incredible journey to the other side and discovers your future reality. We will be taking call-ins after 3:30 p.m., and I wanted to give out our studio numbers here first. Our call-in number here for the studio is area code 425-373-5527 or 1-888-298-5569. And I also wanted to tell you that I've started a new spiritual and psychic newsletter. The newsletter just costs $10 a month for two bi-monthly issues. If you're interested, please see my website at www.outofthisworld1150.com. Before we begin, I'd like to thank the many sponsors of the show, including my dear friend Carol, who's been designing my website and providing moral support, and without whose friendship and help this program would not have been possible. My dear friend Ann Nelson, business professor at Walla Walla Community College, and my angelic and earthly family. Our upcoming guests include Eric von Doniken. He will be coming live to us sometime this summer from Switzerland. Details yet to be worked out. James von Prague in September. Christine Day, an ambassador for the Pleiadian civilization, on May 30th. She will also be bringing a live human extraterrestrial from the Pleiadians to be interviewed on this station. This is the first time in memory that I believe a live human extraterrestrial will be interviewed on radio. Jewel Trolley, one of the best psychics in the United States, will be coming back a week from today. And we will also have our friend here, Scott, 1 week from today as well, from the live presentation tonight at the East West Books. In addition, we will also be having Mitch Horowitz, the vice president of Penguin Books, on in a couple of weeks. Mitch has just published a wonderful book on the psychic virtues of thinking positive. Well, let's start our interview with Scott. Scott, welcome to Seattle.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
It's so good to have you here today, my friend. I was going to ask you, how did you get interested in this field? And
well, I guess I would have to say it started when I was 5 years old as a toddler in Salt Lake City, walking up to my family's brick house. And I had I was looking at my parents, and they were having a normal human argument on the porch. Mm-hmm. And suddenly I could see their auras and the colors of their auras. And between them, because it was an argument, was a red shield. And sparks or rays were coming off that shield that were penetrating me. It was very painful, and I was suddenly out of my body. Mm. And I was experiencing myself fully awakened as a mature adult male. And I looked up, and I saw a sphere of energy above my head. And in it were many geometric formulas and symbols and star patterns. And I looked at the star patterns. And I said to myself, Earth, what am I doing on Earth? Mm. That's what began this. Mm. And then that shut down for many years. When I was living here in Washington, actually, in Bellevue, in a place called Cherry Crest, up on a mountain, tree-covered hill, I just like any kid, I wanted to find out what my, why there was interest my parents had in drinking beer. And I was 12 years old, so at 3 o'clock in the morning, snuck in their fridge, grabbed a can of beer, crawled out the window, and walked around on the grass up to this narrow lane that divided the housing development up there, popped the top in this can of beer, and was about to take a drink. The next thing I knew was that I was on my back, spread eagle, with this can opened, unspilled, in my left hand, looking up at a craft probably 50 feet above a telephone pole, maybe 30 feet across, metallic, pulsating from blue to white light, no sound. And I experienced a kind of, a telepathic communication between someone on the craft and myself who I knew was benevolent. This was not an experience of being abducted by a gray and having some kind of trauma when I returned or something like this. And I experienced a kind of a, I don't want to call it a download, but a stream of information take place. And this went on for about 15 minutes, and then this craft started pulsing from blue to white light much more rapidly until it became a solid, bright glare, and it shot up into space. I got up, looked at this can of beer, never drank it, put it in the garbage, and snuck in through the bedroom window and went to sleep. Never told anybody about this. A week later, I was coming home from choir practice, and this bus would drive up the hill, about a mile and a half, drop me off at a bus shed, and then drive 2 miles down. And when it dropped me off, I stepped out and watched the bus till it disappeared in the trees far below. And then some force gently pulled my head up, and I was looking at two groups of the same type of craft, two groups of 15 each in triangular formation. And then they split apart and did these acrobatics that were just absolutely out of this world. Hmm. Not, as a pun.
Sure.
They really were. And then they regrouped, and then kind of both groups kind of bowed toward me. That's the only way I can describe it. And I, it was really puzzling to me. And then they just shot up into space and vanished. And there was the same kind of communication going on. I never told anybody about that all the years I was growing up. Mm-hmm. And then many other things happened, but I would get to one third event, when I was maybe 23, driving with a man and his wife and their new baby, late at night, 3 in the morning, across the highway through the Salt Lake Desert, on the way to Salt Lake City. And we were listening to a country radio station. I was in the back seat. And suddenly this radio starts blurring across the dial and focuses in on a private communication between a commander at an Air Force base and these two helicopter pilots that they'd picked up something on radar. And we were all listening to this. Mm-hmm. So we pulled over the side of the road, and I started getting a communication from a guy who called himself Monka. And he's apparently a human. And I told my friends that I was picking up a communication, a telepathic communication with this entity. And again, benevolent. This was not any of this. There's no fear involved in any of this. I was very fortunate. He says, "Watch this. I want to show you something." And I could hear this commander talking to these helicopter pilots. We all could, ordering them in using certain swear words and stuff to get over there and find out where this guy is going. And the next thing we know, these two Black Hawk, I think they were Black Hawk kind of helicopters, completely stealthy, almost making no noise, flew over the top of our car out over the desert. And then I hear, "Watch this." And up in the sky about 5,000 feet, out of nowhere, this beautiful cobalt blue light lit up the whole desert and then shot into the ground, vanished as if it was crashing. And I heard this commander yelling at these guys to go over there. And they got over the area. They couldn't detect anything. There's no wreckage. And then we went about our business, went on our way. And none of us ever talked about it. So that began a lot of my journeys into exploring hidden truth in particular. And later I found out a way to actually safely explore purposefully suppressed or hidden truth. And did that. I've been doing that for decades now. So that began my journey into exploring the truth, really, about how vast the universe is and how many types of beings and what kind of beings they are that visit this earth and have for millennia.
Fascinating, just fascinating. I've read your book, Scott. It's called The Serious Agenda. And for those listeners just tuning in, this is the Out of This World radio program with your host, Ted Marr, with Scott
Lemriel,
thank you. And we'll be at the East West Books tonight in Seattle at 6500 Roosevelt. Please do come. It'll be a golden opportunity for you to meet Scott. He'll be giving a wonderful presentation beginning at 7:30, and it's something you will not forget, believe me. But I have your book in front of me, and I've read it, and I urge everyone to get a copy and read it. It's written in the sense like a novel. Would that be the right way to
It's really a book. But people have said, why did you write it as a novel if you're talking about truth? Mm-hmm. Well, I had to walk a very fine line to get this book published through a traditional publisher in the first place. Mm-hmm. But the way I describe it is this. It's based entirely upon my direct experiences with the hidden truth I reveal in the book. Mm-hmm. But I say it this way. Like the old Dragnet television detective series long ago that was on TV, many people are probably not old enough to remember that, but you know, it'd come on and they say, "The episode you're about to see is true, but the characters and locations of events have been changed to protect the innocent." And that's how I respond to that.
Well, it's just a fascinating book. You have an African American president named McCoy.
Yes.
Scott McCoy.
Martin McCoy.
Mark McCoy in the book. And but let's back up a little bit.
No, Martin.
Okay, Martin.
It doesn't matter.
Martin McCoy.
It's fine.
The book is called The Ceres Agenda. What is the Ceres race?
The Ceres is really pronounced Ceres as if it was, you know, spelled S-E-H hyphen R-E-H-S in here on the, you know, in our language, S-E-R-E-S. It's not S-E-R-I-E-S like a ball series. It's Ceres. They are a very ancient human, benevolent, highly evolved race that seeded human life and humanoid life and much plant and animal life throughout the Milky Way galaxy, Andromeda, our nearest neighbor, and many other galaxies long ago, inspired this organization called the Galactic Interdimensional Alliance of Free Worlds, and then vanished, gone. Said, "Okay, you're on your own." And recently they announced, they've decided, after going through their own greater change, that they have a responsibility to return and help do one very important thing, and that is to retire evil as an experiment out in our galaxy and on this planet. Now, those are big words, I know, and I don't expect anybody to take my word for it or take what I say at face value.
Scott, pardon me for interrupting, but this is a very profound change.
it's a first-time-ever change for creation itself. In other words, where this is coming from a higher reality as a kind of a green light to replace what evil has been doing to cattle prod people into growth when they won't, with something far more benevolent and far more effective to get people to eventually become co-creators with the source behind all life through their own direct experience and do it safely.
Hmm. What would happen to concepts or laws of karma in this new paradigm?
Karma, as people, from my experience, the opposites, the good and the bad, creates its own set of repetitive events that can never be set free in people. In other words, if somebody does something to you and the intent is to exact a revenge, the exacting of the revenge creates another set of variables, but it creates the whole scenario all over again and it never ends. People are caught in that on this world, particularly on this planet, much more than they realize, especially in the way that they think about where they are and what their purpose for living is. Karma, as we know, is really like one of the laws of physics. For every action creates an equal but opposite reaction. And that's kind of like an automatic system. And what we want to do is get above that and operate from a field of energy that is above the dual nature of things. Because then the dual nature can be controlled through the creative imagination to bring into manifestation only those things which are benevolent for all life. That's our nature. That's what we really should be as human beings. The Say rays and us have the same DNA. They're like 18 to 25 feet tall.
Do they look like us?
They look like us, except they're more angelic looking. And if you stood before one, you'd be uplifted almost to where you couldn't stand it. So they're very much in the background right now. They are benevolent, and they have an intent to help this world go through a transformation, which is underway. So what is coming, what's underway now that has been greenlit cannot be reversed. There's an energy involved in making it possible to explore hidden truth now that didn't exist past 3.5 years ago, out there and here on this planet. And that is being implemented in a subtle way. So the world's going to go through a transformation that it's not going to be expected at all.
I'm dying to ask you another related question, Scott, and that's related to remembering. Most people in this density, third density, cannot remember their previous life. Some can. Mm-hmm. We're lucky. I can.
Some, a few, yeah.
A few can.
Right.
Why is it, do you think, that we're limited? Many of us are limited in that respect.
I would say that's being done through the abuse or misuse of an advanced extraterrestrial technology, period. People can say it's God's will. They can justify it in any way they like, but I think everybody down deep really realizes something's not right here. The fact that we don't remember when you're born, you don't know where you come from or where you're going, is the way tyrants control masses of people. And there's a huge organization of benevolent worlds out there, over 450 million spacefaring benevolent races that work in harmony together in just one quarter of our Milky Way galaxy alone.
And that's called the Galactic Alliance.
Correct. And that's who I've been in touch with, and that's what I'm aware of. Mm-hmm. And there are some totalitarian races out there, some of their allies, much smaller, powerful technology. And there's a treaty between those two races that deals with this planet, with themselves and with this planet in particular. One of the things that a race does that's not from this planet, they get new property, is to implant terrorizing images into the subconscious or the electromagnetic field that surrounds a person. And when that's done, the way you control people is you keep it stimulated. And when people try to reach the truth of who they are, they run into this terrorizing image, but they don't see or hear it. They just feel it. So one of the things that's underway, and the most important point I'm bringing to this show, is the way to neutralize those implants. If a technology can be misused on a planetary scale from out of town, that same technology that's been twisted, which was originally designed to be benevolent so that people would not have a subconscious mind in the first place out there, can also be turned around the other way.
I have to ask you, Scott, I know that you go into this a little bit in the book.
Quite a bit.
But this is a very interesting question I want to ask you. From what you've been told by the Galactic Alliance, what happened back in the mid-50s?
Are we speaking politically now, or?
Politically, and who visited Eisenhower back then? What kind of choices did he make?
He was first met by a benevolent human group who offered to provide us with the technology, get rid of diseases, fix the planet's pollution structure, bring us extraterrestrial anti-gravity technology, and invite us to play amongst the stars, which this planet is way overdue in becoming. Now, they just came out of World War II, beat Hitler, Stalin, all that stuff that started developing after that, had their nuclear bomb, just used it on fellow human beings. And if you can imagine this good man, Eisenhower, and his team being suddenly met after that war by an advanced race from another world, and they're human, and they say, we want to help you, would you trust them? How could you? Mm. One of their requirements in order to get this planet free, we would have already been playing in the stars right now, and our grandchildren would be going on field trips to other planets.
How long would we be living?
Well, I'll get to that in a minute.
All right.
But let's finish this Eisenhower thing.
Sorry.
Okay, because people here, well, let's go back to Eisenhower. He turned them down initially because their requirement was we give up all nuclear bombs, weapons technology, and radioactive elements because there is no constructive use for them anywhere in creation. They are only destructive. They get out of their lead-lined container, everybody's dead. And so that's one of the reasons they said, we can't do that. I can't talk to the Soviet Union and get everybody to give up their bombs. You know, I mean, they left politely and said, we'll return when you're ready. But what people don't know is shortly after that, he was met by another group, a totalitarian group, a bipedal non-human group, who offered to provide us with advanced extraterrestrial technology in exchange for doing a few genetic experiments on people they claimed would be brought back afterward unharmed with no memory. But they lied. So Eisenhower, being a good man, and many of the people around him who were good men, obviously didn't feel comfortable around these guys and said, well, no way. They didn't require that we give up nuclear weapons, by the way. So they said, no way. And the ambassador at that time said to him, well, if you don't sign this treaty with us to get this off-world technology, we'll go to the Soviet Union, the premier there, and we'll give it to them, and they'll become the preeminent power on Earth. What they didn't know in the White House was they were already in the Soviet Union, some of their representatives offering the same deal to them at the same time. Mm-hmm. They pitted one against the other. They blackmailed. That's how we got into where we are now. That's how we have this technology overnight. That's how Hitler got it as well, before that. You were talking about, to get back to your other point, about how long should we live or how long do we live. Right now, people are conditioned to believe that a normal human being lives, what, 70, 80, 90, 100 years max? Sometimes right. You're George Burns. Most of the time, you're not. But the truth of it is, normal human beings in other worlds live at least 1,000 years, way back like the old pre-Bible patriarchs, right? The stories. That's normal from people from very far out of town. They have photographic memories. They use 100% of their brain, not 6 to 10. They have 100% brain. How come we only use 6 to 10% here? And they're telepathic, which means they can speak with vocal cords, but when they want their communication to be undistorted, they talk mind to mind, because then three-dimensional images are sent back and forth, and there's no possibility for distorting what you're saying. That's normal. People here on this planet have had that deprived them, genetically shut down long ago and passed on generation after generation. And the only thing that's kept, say, the good guys from intervening here because they could, is they had to come up with a way to do it they had to come up with a way to do this without destruction or killing.
With respect to nuclear technology, I think it'd be useful for my listeners to know the answer to this question. Is it illegal in other parts of the universe?
Completely. Off-world, it's illegal completely. Again, even you can't create it because there's no constructive use for it. They use a form of energy, electromagnetic fields between planets, and out in the void of space, because it's not really a void, to power what they do. And when it passes through the mechanisms of their craft, it doesn't even use energy. And it comes out the other end. They motivate themselves around. They aren't actually changing or using anything. Mm-hmm. There's a certain group on this planet that know about this and how to use this energy, but it's a group that has come under the, I would say, the influential control of a totalitarian off-world race. Mm-hmm. And the only reason they're here and the only reason they have a vested interest with a secret forces here is to get control of another planet. They are not respecters of human beings. However, what I must point out is what they're doing, this off-world race and its allies, are not in control of what they're doing, because they had implanted in them by another race 500,000 years ago and genetically passed on this ruthless character. So in reality, to solve this problem, it has to solve the problem on Earth to make this place become transformed. It had to first be addressed amongst all those tyrant worlds outside of here and be addressed here at the same time, which is underway.
You know, what you're saying raises a lot of very profound and interesting questions, Scott. There's so many questions I have to ask. I want to ask you. We'll continue this tonight at the bookstore.
Yeah,
this was Books at 7:30. Yeah. But one of them was that why do you think they intentionally gave us this nuclear technology? So that we would misuse it, pollute the planet like with Fukushima?
You have to ask yourself who gave it to us.
Ah.
Well, think of it this way. Would 450 million plus worlds of organized, spacefaring, advanced, benevolent beings provide a race like we were after World War II with bomb technology and radioactive technology? What purpose would they have in providing us with such things if they were good people?
No purpose.
They wouldn't.
No purpose.
So what race would?
The totalitarian race, reptilians.
Right. That's right. Because they aren't respecters of human beings. I don't blame them. I mean, people shouldn't get on a vendetta of revenge and all this, because they must understand. They really need to have the experience of understanding that this race is not in control of what they're doing. Neither is a second government, worldwide government on this planet, in control of what they're doing. They can't help what they're doing. And that's a problem. Because how do you change that from the inside out safely? The totalitarian race here that's entrenched in underground in places around the world are sore losers. If they were kicked out by force, they'd blow this planet apart and become another asteroid belt circling around the sun like the one that exists between Mars and Jupiter, which was a planet. That was destroyed 6 million years ago from the influence of totalitarian extraterrestrials. And there's so much here that a lot of it they'll start to pick up on through the book.
Sure.
They'll start to get it. What I mean is, it's a kind of a channel. It starts to work so that people start to become aware of their own innate ability to know, in contrast to remaining in speculation, doubt, and fear.
I just want to make this station announcement. You're listening to Out of This World Radio with my friend Scott
Lemriel.
Thank you.
You'll get it. It's okay. I have a hard time with it, too.
He is the author of the best-selling book, The Series Agenda. You'll be able to meet Scott tonight if you come to East West Books from 7:30 p.m. to 9 p.m. And for those who'd like to call in and ask Scott any questions, our phone number here for the studio is area code 425-373-5527, or toll free at 888, make sure I get this right number, 298-5569. Coming back now to more questions, Scott. The reptilians then have been in collaboration with our government and I assume our military.
Well, yeah, not the government you think, though.
Ah.
You have the government that's elected, which you've got to realize is very temporary. Someone's in for 4 years, 8 max.
Right.
Think about it. If you were the guys after World War II and you knew extraterrestrials were around and you were starting into a Cold War technology with the Soviet Union, you know, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? You're going to tell the people that this is going on, and then everybody would get paranoid. They wouldn't be baby boomers and rebuild a destroyed world after World War II, which is what they wanted. Mm-hmm. You know, how do you tell them? If you told them that, then people would think, well, wait a minute, our own militaries can't protect us from those guys from outer space. Mm-hmm. So they classified, and they started out with good intentions, but that's exactly what a tyrant race used to get in bed with them. What was your question again? I'm sorry.
Well, what I was leading up to is that if they've been in collaboration with our government since 1954, which is...
Oh, I know what it was.
60 years now.
They also created a government that operates worldwide, a classified government, that is not elected by people, that can maintain, and this is how they did it, why... could maintain their research and developments and weapons and defense for the country and other countries despite who was in government, elected every 4 or 8 years. In other words, they needed something that they could consistently maintain through their struggle with the Soviet Union. And this is where this started, this secret government thing. Mm-hmm. And it's made up of an elitist group of powerful and wealthy people. And what people need to understand, this has been my experience from my friends from out of town as well, is that they are no longer in control of what they're doing, even though they think they are. That's a problem. So people look at the condition of the world now after World War II and they go, what the heck is wrong with everything out there? Why is it like this? Why are we being lied to every day in every way? And everybody knows they are. And that's, then they have to get into a bigger picture, you know, and get their consciousness sometimes, if they want to, a little bit off world, a little bit more out in the universe we live in. Because people here, if they were recovered to be normal, which they should be, they would be telepathic. They'd have photographic memories. They'd use 100% of the 100% of brain they have. And they would have the ability to plug into the universe through this omnipresent current that underlies everything and know for themselves with certainty. They wouldn't have to be told from an outer source anything.
I have to ask you this question, Scott. You're just really making my mind work overtime today. If from your friends from out of town in the Galactic Alliance, what kind of control mechanisms does the other side use to control our political, military, and corporate leaders?
It's very simple. It's a if you look at it this way, you go back a long ways in galactic history. About 500,000 years ago, a tyrant race conquered a planetary system. They were human. They had developed a technology to make sure their citizens never had a subconscious mind because it can be aberrated, and you're not aware of it. So, subconscious. And this race got a hold of this and forced their scientists to create or twist this to do the opposite, to put terrorizing things in the subconscious, create a subconscious, because then they could be manipulated without their being aware it's being done to them. That's where that started. And these guys can wear a device, you know, on their belt buckle and be standing in front of you and press it, and off goes the implants, and pretty soon you're doing what they want them to, what they want you to do. You're not even aware of it. That's very dangerous. That is what's underway right now to be neutralized, and that's what's coming up for people here. It's going to be a really exciting time.
Well, you know, that's a very profound statement you just made, both from the past and to the future, that we'll be free of this.
Right.
And I guess looking at the past, is that how can the people on this planet be truly free to make their own correct decisions if they're controlled by ET technology or whatever?
They can't. All you need to do is control a race of people. Is to keep them in any kind of doubt. Mm-hmm. An extraterrestrial craft with a human on it, come down, pick somebody up tonight, take them on board, show them the wonders of the universe, and put them back. And that person, I guarantee you, will still doubt whether it really happened or if maybe somebody controlled them to inject this experience into them. They would still have this underlying subconscious doubt. Mm-hmm. And that doubt is what controls them. Normal human beings don't have that doubt ever. And when they look in the universe and they know truth, they know it innately in their own direct experience. So I wrote the Savior's Agenda and was guided to write that to provide a doorway for people to connect with a way to safely explore purposefully hidden truth. That's why that actually got published.
Fascinating. Fascinating, Scott. There was a series of books written by a psychic named Dolores Cannon back in 1989. She and about a dozen different psychics contacted, time traveled, and contacted Nostradamus back in the 16th century and went through all of his quatrains.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Nostradamus said back then that beginning in the year 2040, 2030, in that range, for the next 1,000 years, the humans on this planet would live a golden age, after which we would become a space-faring.
During, actually.
Yeah, right, right.
Yeah.
Spacefaring, we would then move off planet. Mm-hmm. We would become almost like angels.
Yeah.
We would live truly a paradise.
Mm-hmm.
Do you, from your conversations with your friends from out of town, the Galactic Alliance, what kinds of things have they said about our future?
It's bright indeed.
Wonderful.
Absolutely bright beyond anybody's understanding or imagination right
Wonderful.
Now. And here's the thing. When people go through this transformation that's underway, and they'll start to see it in subtle ways, like the neutralization of radioactive material in our waters from Fukushima, which is now not radioactive. How the heck did that happen? These are the kinds of things that are very subtle, but they mean that there is an inroad of wondrous beings starting to make their presence known here, and that will unfold in tremendously wonderful ways in the days to come. At some point, everyone on this planet will know without a shadow of a doubt that extraterrestrials exist.
Incredible. Good ones, by the way.
Yeah, right.
Benevolent ones who care about us.
Because that's what most of them are.
I have to tell you, I went out to the ocean a month ago, and I got a water sample, and I shipped it off to a laboratory, got it tested, even did an interview with King 5 News here in Seattle. Mm. And they're all ready to play. They said, Ted, give us a call when you get your results back. Mm. Well, the results came back, and there was no radiation from Fukushima. There was some potassium, radioactive potassium, but that was left over from old bomb experiments back in the 50s and 60s.
Right, right, right.
But there was nothing from Fukushima. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to go out there to the ocean again probably this week and get another sample, ship it off. And I just have this feeling that mm-hmm. there's going to be no radiation from Fukushima. Mm-hmm. When a month ago or a couple of months ago...
It was very high.
It was very high, yeah. And the scientists said we were going to get hit with 10 times more radiation than all the bombs dropped since Fukushima. Mm-hmm. Since
going to happen.
Nagasaki. And then you got to ask yourself, well, what's happened? Yeah. Who's taken it off?
I can tell you it's not the hidden government that's doing it.
Right, right.
That's kind of concerns them because they can't control that.
Right, right.
And they're never going to be able to.
Yet the benevolent, the Galactic Alliance, of course, they're not doing it for the limelight. They're not telling
everybody.
No, they're
not doing it to say, hey, look at me, I'm doing this right now. That'll come.
Right.
But even when that comes, it's not for that purpose. They're a little bit beyond that kind of petty nature. But they really are. And so are we on this planet. The thing of it is, people don't realize that they didn't evolve. Human beings did not evolve on this planet. Mm-hmm. I don't care how controversial this sounds. The fact is, out in the universe, human beings evolved billions of years ago in many of the worlds and were brought here over different cyclic times. This planet's poles flip overnight 180 degrees every 100,000 years, just like clockwork. Mm-hmm. And six ice ages in 600,000 years. That's also classified. Why?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. But the point is, when that happens, the mantle of the planet is broken up and the seafloors rise up. You get a whole new surface. Most everything's destroyed, and then it has to be reseeded, which means no culture has ever been allowed to evolve here past 100,000 years. Mm. And this one's only been maybe 35 at most,
right.
Which means the planet has been kept in a state of not being able to evolve to the degree that many other worlds with humans on it have been able to.
Right.
And that's a problem. Now, part of this change that's coming because of the Seyrays and these masterful beings that work around and beyond them is to permanently retire the polar shifts for this planet. That takes some pretty super intelligences to pull that off.
Really?
Yes.
My goodness.
Well, that would change things because that means this culture will have a chance to really grow up with everybody else.
Absolutely.
And there are beings out there, I can tell you, that have the technology or even the spirituality, if you will, but certainly the technology to do that kind of thing.
Amazing.
And that's easy for them. That's not complicated. That's not the problem. It's never been a problem about change in the world. It's about how to do it to extricate what's in bed, hidden here, safely, and also correct what's the problem with them out there on their own worlds as to why they behave that way. And that's a huge undertaking.
Right.
Just huge.
Well, I firmly believe, Scott, that we are all God's children. In addition to that, we have a very bright, very, very future. And the entire purpose of this radio program, why I started it, was to raise human consciousness. And I can't think of a better person to be on my show than you, Scott, today.
Thank you very much. I'm here for that reason. I'm really here because I want this to... I'm really here because I know that what this is and where it's going is only beneficially benevolent, period, for people. There's no negative in it. It only has one direction it can go now. It cannot go in two. The force that's brought here, this new ray that I talk about in the book, really retires evil as an experiment, replaces it with something that will help people to become what they're meant to be, which is conscious, free, co-creators with the one divine source behind all life.
And happy. Live happy.
Happy goes along.
Happy, wonderful lives, which people truly, truly cherish, their being alive and existence.
Well, could you imagine this? Your kids and grandkids getting up in the morning, going on a field trip to another planet. And
amazing.
This is normal.
Amazing. Just
and
amazing.
As heavenly and all peaceful, you know, money, they don't even use it. Why would they? Think about it. That's a control mechanism.
Interesting.
What motivates a normal human being is to get up and have the drive, the passionate drive, to create that which will only be beneficial to all life.
Friends, I want you to listen very carefully to what Scott's saying today, because it's some of the most profound and interesting statements I've ever heard on my show yet. Whenever you're having a bad day, just remember that the white light is much stronger than the dark. And there is, go ahead.
There's something I want to share with people. It is a special vibratory word that was brought here from very far out of town millions of years ago and kept secret and sacred. And this word, when sung or sent out on it, whatever tone you're comfortable with, is not owned or copyrighted or possessed by any organization on this world or any organization. And it only does one thing when you do it. It vibrates the pineal gland, the center of the brain. It sets up a link that opens a door for people to safely explore purposefully hidden truth for the first time. I mean, to really explore it. And they get the help and all the tools and whatever they may need, and they'll find this out through their own experience, to safely do that. And that was only possible in the degree it is now, starting 3.5 years ago. And I won't go into that on the show, why that is. But when this is done, it only vibrates the cranium or the head upward. And you'll feel it. You'll experience it where it's vibrating. And it opens this door in the pineal gland, which is a mechanism for looking into other frequencies. It's connected to the optic nerve. But like when you look through it, which is what people call the third eye, really, if you can shut down the function of that gland, people forget and don't know who they are anymore. But when you turn that back on, all that's opened up to them again. And I'll demonstrate that for you now with your permission.
Please.
Someone would do this. They would get comfortable lying down or sitting in a chair, and they would close their eyes, take a couple of deep breaths, which I'm doing right now. Forget the cares of the day. And then look at that place in the screen of your imagination, that same place you would look at if you were to imagine a beautiful waterfall, a bird, someone or something you love. And then ask to be shown through your own direct experience, purposefully hidden truth. And then just do this. Till the breath runs out. Pause, look and listen. Don't try to make anything happen. It's not necessary. You'll feel a warm presence coming from your chest and up through your head. It's very peaceful. It's uplifting only. And then you hew again. This connects the individual to the core of their being, plugs it into the omnipresent force of living energy that's really there, that underlies everything in creation on multiple dimensional levels in the void of space. And by plugging into that, you have access to the totality of it. When you cut that off in people, they're left like a drop from an ocean in this hot sun on the sand. This reconnects people into that. And it can only do that, and it's only benevolent, and it cannot be controlled, manipulated, bent, changed, destroyed, or altered by any force, technology, or being in creation. So if you want to work with this, you'll have a safe way of going about this. Let's do it once more. Three times a charm. You'll notice a phenomenon if you do this 10 to 20 minutes every day at the same time, preferably middle of the night, doesn't matter, daytime. You'll just come, it's a phenomenon, and it works for everyone, you'll just know to stop. Mm-hmm. And you'll just stop and you'll know it. Mm-hmm. Then go about your day without concern or regard for anything, and then watch what happens in your life. Events start to come your way. Mm-hmm. Awareness starts to awaken. Mm-hmm. And then there's the possibility for contact as well, but only with the good guys.
Frankly, to be honest with you, Scott, I've had a very busy day. I've been driving a lot today. And
well, you picked me up at the airport, which I
yeah.
greatly appreciate.
Right, my pleasure. And you weren't that heavy either.
No.
Just joking. But anyway, we made it to the show on time, fortunately. But I already feel a sense of peace after saying that several times. Thank mm-hmm. you. What a nice gift.
My pleasure.
What a nice gift.
People will find if they do have the courage to try this, then I don't want them to take my word for it or take mm-hmm. me at face value. They'll just simply start having their own direct experiences with this truth mm-hmm. on a multidimensional grand scale. Mm-hmm. And that's how I'll leave the listeners with the show then, with that. What matters to anybody is their own experience in it anyway, not what I say.
Scott, I want you to turn around and look at the sky behind you. You can see the skyline of Seattle.
Oh, yeah.
Now, when we came in here 45 minutes ago, when we first started the program, it was considerably darker. Have you noticed it's gotten lighter a little bit?
Brighter.
Brighter.
Yeah, it's definitely brighter. That's what happens.
That's just simply amazing.
That's just normal, though.
My goodness.
Can you imagine people in many of the worlds using this to make sure that they do not get a subconscious mind? Isn't that interesting?
Fascinating. There are so many other topics we could go into.
Well, I also want to make a quick comment.
Sure.
Doesn't matter what religion you're in, whether you're an atheist, whether you believe in God, whether you believe in this, aliens, extraterrestrials, or the Bigfoot, mm-hmm. or elves. It doesn't matter what you believe in. Using this, utilizing this tool, will work the same way for every single living being, and it only produces benevolent, uplifting, awakening results, mm-hmm. period. Mm-hmm. People have to experience for themselves to know, and that's the only thing that really matters in the end, their own experience.
It's probably hard to answer this, and maybe it depends on other factors too, Scott, but what kind of time frame do you look at the Galactic Alliance, the good guys?
They're already here, and it's already underway.
Okay.
And it's not reversible. Think of it this
Wonderful.
Way. If you've got a group of people here who think they're going to go out into space, and they're already in a secret space program off this world.
Sure.
Just because you think about it. The Soviet Union and the U.S. decided they went to the moon during this Cold War, and they both unilaterally just never went back. And that's what they told the people. Mm-hmm. Well, sure, they went back in a classified space program. But they're limited in a way because the idea of going out and conquering other worlds and using their resources and putting your flag on a planet is never going to work anyway, and I'll tell you why. Space and the planets out there are already occupied, and they're not ours to take. We want to join them, we're going to have to share, and it's going to have to be benevolent. So which means benevolent, which means the direction this planet is going, which is destructive, which is being altered, and the idea of going out into space to lie to people here and do what you want is a dead end. It has no future. It can't have one because something's changed in creation recently that's changing all of that, making it impossible for that to happen anymore. People are going to find it out. Don't take my word for it. They're going to find it out. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I say it's about time. It's way past time, in my view. Mm-hmm. This world and its people deserve to know who they are. They deserve to wake up. They need to have returned to them what has been deprived them without their awareness.
I think my listeners are highly intelligent, highly evolved, and they're looking for answers.
Yeah.
I know I am.
And best thing I could ever share with anybody to get those answers, so by their own experience, not outside authority, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. is to go through the doorway through the pineal gland of the hue. The mm-hmm. protection and that comes with that, you just have to experience it for yourself. Mm-hmm. It was like I said to a certain popular talk show host on a radio show I was on recently, who asked me, he said, you mean if one of these guys, these tyrants come by from another world and wants to have me for dinner, if you just do this you, I would be protected? And I said, that's exactly what I'm saying.
Or if someone, for example, is confronted by a gray alien who wants
same
to abduct
thing,
you, you
same
use
thing.
That and then they
yep.
have to back off. Interesting.
Yep, and I shared with a bunch of people that were abductees of those kind of creatures who come under the control of another race. We know who that is.
Right.
They're a superior tyrant race. Mm-hmm. It does the same thing, and it'll help extricate people from the problem of what happened to them if they were implanted or abducted. And it's a quicker way to resolve those issues than going getting psychotherapy or, you know, whatever. I mean, that helps, but oftentimes it doesn't, you know, perfectly resolve the issue.
I had an excellent one of the best UFO researchers in the world on my program. It was last week. David Jacobs from Temple University in Philadelphia, and I'm sure this information would be very useful for him.
And you know
to
what?
His,
it would work for him too, in his field of expertise, in ways that. How about the reverse hypnotherapists? Okay, reverse regression therapy.
Mm-hmm.
If they worked with the U, the results they would have would be dramatically far beyond what they're getting now.
And this Hugh word, how old is it? And
it's as old as the universe.
Really?
It's like an original word, original vibration sent out by what the extraterrestrial good guys call Prime Creator. The ancient one, or Prime Creator, basically.
God.
Would call the Supreme Being here.
Mm-hmm.
Which isn't a guy on a throne up there, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
But it is a presence, a living presence that underlies all creation, and we're all made of the same thing, is it? Exactly the same.
Mm-hmm.
And when we begin to awaken that part of us, we have the ability to plug into the whole thing. Can you imagine the advantage that gives you?
Amazing. That's amazing.
Yeah.
That's amazing. That's amazing. Well, my friend, we've got about 4 minutes left, and I was wondering if you might like to, I want to give you the stage as to what kind of parting words you'd like to give my audience.
Yeah, I'd like to share with everybody. Thanks, Ted. And I want to thank this radio station and Eric, who I met, and other Eric here, for their kindness in having you here and me on, because it's going to benefit everybody. Mm-hmm. It's good for them. It's good for us. It just is a win-win scenario. Mm-hmm. I would like to say to everyone just this. Most people on Earth, without realizing it, are programmed to use the gift of their creative imagination towards a diabolical Armageddon destructive end of the world. Mm-hmm. That is a blatant misuse of life. Cannot blame people, because it's not their fault that this has been done to them. The right use of the gift of creative imagination, there's only one right use for it. Because when you're imagining in the way we're discussing, you're not creating something out of your brain cells. You're not making stuff up. You're actually looking into the universe and seeing what's there. The most abstract to the most sublime exists somewhere. And what people are really doing is looking through their inner eye, the one eye, through the pineal gland, as a being, which is not the body, but more spherical energy and shape, what we call soul, or the Atma from other worlds. That's what they call it, Atma. You're really looking into reality. A normal human being is able to get in or out of their body at will, number one, which gives them a certain freedom. They remember the lives they've lived before in other worlds, and they get born into another life when that body's done, which they leave voluntarily, bringing all of that memory with them. None of it's occluded. So for people to think that this is normal in God's will, that everybody's dumbed down to where they don't know where they are, how they got there, and where they're going, that is not normal.
With 6 to 10% of their brain capacity.
Yeah, you got 100% brain.
Right.
So doesn't that strike anybody as a little strange?
It does strike very, very strange.
So I would just wish everybody this. Work with the Hugh. Explore this. Go on this adventure for yourself and find out what it will do and who you connect with and how it works. Because it is only benevolent, it's only uplifting, it's only life-transforming. And it's one thing that's coming here on a large scale. It's underway now, and it's just going to increase from this time outward.
What kind of time frame do you envision? I know it's already underway. 5 years, 10 years?
Well, I would look at it this way, because I use it in the book, and I only use this as a reference. I think in the prologue of the book, I talk about the Mayan calendar, because the Mayan calendar, I don't remember, I'm not a expert on the Mayan calendar, but the Mayans themselves, the shamans, maybe 400 or 500, maybe a little more, live mostly in Guatemala and know how to read their own calendar, for crying out loud, have never said it has anything to do with an Armageddon, the end of their calendar. Mm-hmm. I've been telling people for years nothing was going to happen at the end of the Mayan calendar, December 21st, 2012, and it didn't.
Mm-hmm.
Surprised a lot of people. Because of this intervention that's underway, or it would have been destructive. This is 2014 going on 2015. We still haven't blown ourselves up, and people think that's what our future is going to be.
You had told me, interestingly, over lunch, Scott, that the good guys had already intervened several times to prevent a nuclear war here on the planet.
They did.
Amazing.
12 times.
12 times. Okay. Well,
when that happened, a craft would appear over our bases here in the Soviet Union, shut down their launch computers, and then fly away. No hellos, no goodbyes, no thank yous. They just said, look, we don't like to intervene in what you're doing, but we at least have permission to stop that. And
well,
they did.
If we did destroy the planet, there's other Earth-like planets, I've been told, in other dimensions close to this one, which would also be affected.
They would be harmed, and billions, 200 billion people would be affected.
And I don't think the Prime Creator would be very happy about that.
Just the races out there are not going to allow that to happen. Mm-hmm. So fortunately, they won't let this planet be self-destroyed or destroyed under misdirected use under any circumstances.
Well, Scott, thank you so much for coming on. We'll be at the East-West Books tonight at 6500 Roosevelt, beginning at 7:30, and please come. There is a small admission charge. If you can't afford it, come anyway.
Yeah, come anyway.
We want you to come and get the message, important message that Scott has to say. And stay tuned. We'll be having Jeffrey Marks on in about 10 minutes, my friends.